dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. It is always a delight and a real honor to be able to pipe aboard, as they say, a four-star admiral of great distinction, a man I've come to know and admire greatly as a friend and as the chairman of the Military Committee of the Center for Security Policy, the former commander-in-chief of the U.S. Pacific Fleet, James Ace Lyons. Admiral Lyons, we are reaching out to you on the eve of the anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. It is a great privilege to have a chance to visit with you about that. You served in the Navy from, I guess, the very latter parts of World War II, right up into the mid-1980s. And it's a perspective that I think it's enormously important to bring to bear. You've written about Pearl in the commentary section of the Washington Times yesterday, and I'm very glad to have you here to talk with us about it today. Thank you, sir, for joining us.
Nice to be with you, Frank, and your listeners.
Let's talk a little bit about the events that led up to Pearl Harbor. You've reviewed in this column, Admiral Lyons, two books that shed light on what was known by the United States government, or at least parts of the United States government, in the run-up to Pearl Harbor. Speak, if you would, to this nagging question of what did Franklin Roosevelt and others around him know, and when did they know it?
Well, of course, as I said in the op-ed and in the recent books on this, we had broken the key Japanese diplomatic code, and which provided a wealth of information leading up to the attack on 7 December, including such information as the request for the pattern of the anchorages at Pearl Harbor, which in fact became a bombing plot for the Japanese attack. But, you know, one thing I didn't get in the op-ed because just of the time, there was an effort in the summer of 41 to establish a truce with Japan over the invasion of the Japanese in China. And what's fascinating here was the double agents, the communists, who had infiltrated into our government organizations prior to in the 30s and certainly early 40s, were able to sabotage that effort. Our ambassador, Gru, in Tokyo, felt he could have been successful. But what the Soviets did then, because when Hitler invaded Russia in the summer of 41, the last thing Stalin needed was a two-front war. So they put their most successful spy in Tokyo, a German-born communist by the name of Soto. And his main effort was to ensure if the Japanese did anything to go into a global war, they went south against the British, the Dutch, and the Americans. The objective was to prevent Japan from opening up a second front against Russia.
Admiral, let me just ask you about your predecessor as Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet, Admiral Husband Kimmel, and Lieutenant General Walter Short, who was responsible for the defense of Hawaii in the days leading up to Pearl Harbor, were essentially made the fall guys for what happened in that attack. Talk a little bit about what they knew and were unaware of, and whether it was appropriate for them to be treated as the villains of the piece.
Well, what happened was they were not provided any information, any of the intelligence information leading up to the attack. In fact, you know, there were something like 6 or 7 purple machines made. And what your listeners have to know, a few of those went to Churchill in the UK. The Army had 2, the Navy had 2. And remarkably, 1 was sent to MacArthur in the Philippines for his use. None, unbelievable.
And these, of course, were the machines used to decrypt the Chinese purple code, the diplomatic code known as MAGIC at the time. And Admiral Lyons, had they had access to the information that would have been made accessible with one of those machines, is it your professional judgment that they might have taken steps to intensify their defenses against a Japanese attack and Pearl Harbor perhaps been avoided?
Well, there's no question about it. And there's also the other thing that I mentioned was the most successful British double agent who actually brought over the questions that the Japanese wanted on Pearl Harbor. Actually, the UK attack on the Italian fleet at Taranto was the model that they used for the attack on Pearl Harbor. And in that, they raised a series of questions. Those questions were brought by Duco Popoff to the United States, turned over to the FBI, who then paraphrased the questions, gave them to military intelligence, who really failed to recognize the significance of them.
So this was one of a series of episodes or intelligence data points, if you will, that could have resulted in early warning and advance preparations. Do you credit Admiral Lyons the contention that's widely advanced but often disputed that Roosevelt knew about this attack or had access to plenty of information that would have signaled the attack and deliberately failed to warn those who were about to be subjected to it? What do you make of that?
Well, let's face it. He ran on the platform of keeping us out of the European conflict and not to keep us involved. So there was the strong isolationist, drumbeat throughout the United States to keep us out of the European war. And it had to be a dramatic event. Whether he deliberately failed to act, that remains one of the great unknowns. And I do know, you know, he, and certainly at the same time, Churchill was getting the same information. You know, and it's hard to really come to the conclusion that neither Churchill or Roosevelt failed to discuss any of the information leading up to the attack. But most importantly, Frank, besides the whether he had it weeks or months before, they had the key message on the 6th of December, which was the Japanese delivery that they were breaking off all negotiations, to which Roosevelt said, "This means war." And for nobody to pick up to pass this information to Kimmel and Short was unconscionable.
And then to blame them for it is even more so, and I think you rightly argue that they should be pardoned and their ranks restored, now obviously posthumously, as a small measure of recompense for what they were put through as a result of these various charges. Admiral Lyons, we're going to pause here for just a moment. We've got the groundwork laid here for what led to World War II, our involvement in it in the Pacific and almost immediately simultaneously in Europe. I'd like to take stock with you in a second segment, if we may, of sort of what flowed from all of that, not just the war, of course, but in the post-war period, Pax Americana, in which you played a very important role, of course, in the United States Navy, notably as the Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet. That and much more with Admiral James Ace Lyons, right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.